Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8, and I am reading from the Message. You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find that. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road He set. You, God, prescribe the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learn the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me.
So from Matthew's Gospel. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
So following on from where Christine finished in Matthew, I'm continuing from verses 21 to 28. Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God, forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." In this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So from rooster to feather duster, It's a good feeling when things are going well, when we have confidence, we make plans, we invest, we build, And personally, we walk around with an extra step, a bounce in our step rather, on our journey of life. That's when things are going good. But when the bubble bursts, what happens when the trends reverse and take a dive? What happens when the confidence rug is pulled from under your feet? In today's gospel, we hear a very human side of the journey of faith. We, like Peter, for he really stands for us as one of the disciples, and we are all part of the disciples. For Peter, the rise and fall, the up and down of our faith. And yet we're still invited and encouraged to follow Jesus, boots and all, highs and lows, whether we're on board or whether we're lagging behind. For sometimes we are stumbling blocks, and sometimes we're building blocks, strong and moving in the right direction, but other times we slip behind. Jesus just asked his disciples, and particularly Peter, who they knew Jesus to be. And Peter speaks up first, as he usually does, as the spokesperson of the disciples. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're the one that we've been waiting for. So Peter was the cocky rooster, chest puffed out, full of confidence. I know who you are. I've got it all together. And Jesus was impressed with Peter. As he said, not human words have divulged this to you, but divine disclosure that has given him this insight and this declared faith that he was going to be part of the foundation of the growth of the church. He'd be given the keys to the kingdom. What a responsibility. The keys to the kingdom with great authority. This was a sacred moment. Although Jesus told them not to tell anyone about it, I'm sure they were pretty chuffed to be in the secret group. You feel pretty important when you are in the know. You feel pretty important when you're in the circle of trust. You feel pretty important when you think that you've got the right answer. However, it was not all good news for Peter. From that time on, Jesus began to show them that Jesus must suffer and die and go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of religious leaders who would kill him. And Peter was shocked at this. Here, Mr. Number One spokesperson for the group takes Jesus aside and says, "Jesus, get your act together, mate." No, he said, "God forbid this, Lord. This will never happen to you." In other words, I'm not going to let it happen. You are not going to go that way. You're going to go the way of the kingdom and glory and all that stuff. So Peter, full of confidence, declares, "This is not going to happen. Let's get those keys of the kingdom and let's do some binding and loosing and we'll fix it." But Jesus looks at Peter fair in the eye and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are in my way, for you are setting your mind on things not of this world," so not of the divine, but of this world. So in 6 short verses in Matthew's gospel, Peter has gone from being the rock on which to build the kingdom and holding the keys of the kingdom to a stumbling block, to being referred to as Satan, from being the bearer of divine revelation to an instrument of Satan reflecting human thoughts, not divine. Talk about rooster 1 week and then feather duster the next. The rise and fall of Peter. But let's just pause and reflect for a moment on the term Satan. I don't think Jesus was referring to Peter as a devil or a demon or a demon-possessed person. But rather, I think, in the Jewish understanding of an adversary. Or as someone or something who obstructs or opposes a stumbling block. One of the first references to this is found in the Old Testament. It's a great story. If you haven't read Numbers 22, I encourage you to go home and read Numbers 22 in the Old Testament. But particularly from verse 22 onwards, it's the story of Balaam. And I can see you all diving for your Bibles. We'll do that later. But the guy Balaam wasn't in the good books with God. So Balaam was riding his donkey along a path one day, going somewhere and doing something. And God sends an angel, that's inverted commas, to stand in the middle of the road and obstruct the path of Balaam and his donkey. It's a weird story, but only the donkey could see the so-called adversary. And so the donkey wanders off the path and into the paddock. And Balaam starts laying into his donkey with his whip or stick or whatever he had, unaware of why they were diverted from the path. Now, that donkey could talk, apparently. And it explained to Balaam that there was an angel of God was in the road, but Balaam couldn't see it. But the word to describe angel can also be stumbling block or adversary. Remember Satan's role in Job. It was to try and trip up Job so Job would curse God. Remember the temptation story of Jesus, how Satan is also attempting to take Jesus' eyes off his way and to trip him up, to stumble in his faith. Peter, the rock, had become in effect a stumbling block, a stone of offense to Jesus. The command to get behind me refers to the clearing of Jesus' path, the removal of an obstacle. So Peter has gone from a rock on which to build the church to a rock that would cause you to stumble or trip. Peter had let his human, earthly thoughts and emotions get in his way. He once again had taken his eyes off Jesus, like walking on the water a few episodes ago, and he sank or fell off the pedestal once again. Where Peter stumbled was when he chose to do things his way rather than Jesus' way. I can't let this happen, he says. You can't be serious about that suffering, about being a servant and love your enemies and all that self-denial stuff. You can't be serious about the cross. But we might say exactly the same words. And I think if we're honest, we can identify with Peter that we don't always fully walk in the way of discipleship that Jesus identifies. The Christian life is not all champagne and caviar. Some people might wish it was. It's not all about nice feelings all the time. It's not always about being right all the time. It's not always about being comfortable and safe and secure. Peter perhaps let the champagne and the caviar go to his head because he was a cool spiritual dude. He let it cloud his judgment, and then he shoots his mouth off once again. Peter's very human, very like me and us. Jesus says the ways of God and the Christian discipleship is self-denial. It is cross-bearing. It is committed to following and putting oneself on the line for others. It is serving God. It's also about being in relationship with the one who says, I am the way. Not our power or our status. Not, well, who is the greatest? Well, I am. It's not about easy paths. For Jesus says the road will be narrow and full of potholes. And even rocks that might cause you to stumble. Psalm 119 encourages us when it says, blessed are you when you stay on course, walking steadily in the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow God's directions, doing your best to find God. That's right, you don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road God set. You, God, prescribed the right way to live. You now expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping the course you set. So for Peter, for us and Christianity, it implies a commitment to the way. The way of Jesus, of compassion, of justice, of truth, love, self-denial, other-centeredness, self-sacrifice. Christian discipleship is living and engaging with the world as Christ lives in us. And you know, sometimes we'll get it wrong. We will get it wrong. Sometimes we think we're roosters, all puffed up and full of confidence, and we've got the truth, and we've got the only way. But really, we may well be feather dusters. And Peter shows us that both sides of discipleship, caught between faith and doubt, understanding and confusion, obedience and disobedience. In his strength and in his weakness, Peter represents us ordinary Christians who strive and work hard. And sometimes we fail to be followers of Christ. But the call to follow Christ is not a one-time call. We don't make a single commitment and it's all over. Rather, it's a call to begin Christ's way every day and in every way. Whether we find ourselves in smooth sailing or stormy seas, in times of affirmation or doubt, in getting it right or getting it wrong, whether we're roosters or feather dusters, we are not called to follow Jesus to see what we might gain or to see how happy and safe we might be, but to follow the way of Jesus, to take up our cross daily. And the paradoxical thing is that Jesus says is that you will find life by losing it. You'll save your life by giving it up. As you die to selfishness, you will find rebirth. In ministering and sharing with others, you'll find what life is really like. Jesus calls us to follow him. It's a call to discipleship and faith. So, if we are roosters or if we're feather dusters, be assured of the faith and the call of Christ that picks us up even when we do fall and sets us back on the path. That's grace. That's love. That's the way of Jesus. Will you join with me as I pray? And particularly, we think at the moment of our society, and this is called a prayer for society, written by a local minister in Adelaide just this last few days, and particularly about the marriage equality postal votes. God, who created us to be in loving and nurturing families, hear my prayer. I want to play my part in my city, in my country, in my world. Then I remember, I want to play my part as your person in your places. Guide me as I make your love and forgiveness known in thought and word and deed. Teach me to be a blessing to others rather than an obstacle to your grace. When I see someone unlike me, may I not cross the other side to the other side. When I see lovers who could be friends, may I greet them with an encouraging word. When I'm tempted to criticize or correct, let me be aware of what is blurring my vision. Trinity God, who lives in the strangest relationship I've ever heard of, bless us all with life-giving relationships. Amen.